meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name is Brian Cross and I'm the committee chairman. Just a couple of points before we start. If you have a mobile phone, can you please put it into silent mode? And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery? To my right, I have officers of the Planning Department, and on my left, I've got officers from Law and Administration Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak on the first item will be given 3 minutes. Those that have indicated to speak on the second item will be given 10 minutes because it's classed as a major application. And there's a table in the centre of the room provided for the speaker to come forward to. I will indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes on the first application and 10 minutes on the second application because it's a major. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity such as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning application before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework, the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We'll now move on to the agenda. Item 1, minutes.
Non-submitted, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Apologies.
Mr. Chairman, apologies from Councillor Edgeley, who substituted this evening by Councillor Trowbridge, Councillor McEwen, who substituted this evening by Councillor Kenny, and from Councillor Phillips.
Thank you. Item 3, declarations of members' interest. I should imagine all members have received an email from Councillor McEwen, which is classed as lobbying and should have been reported to the Planning Department. I've also been lobbied on the first application, two different applications. Again, I've referred both of them to the Planning Department. Has any other member been lobbied?
Only on the second one.
On the second one? Thank you. On both. Councillor Trowbridge?
Mr. Chairman, I am going to be speaking on application 20/33493 COU, hence won't be voting.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Item 4, delegated applications.
Will be circulated in the usual manner.
Thank you, Andrew. Planning applications, if you turn to page 4. First application 20/33493/COU, land adjacent to Nick Hughes Barbering, White Lodge, 2 Deansville Close, Stafford, SD16 1BW. Proposal to relocate an existing barbershop business facilitated by change of use of land. I'll give way to our planning officer, Richard, who will present this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This application is for the relocation of the barber's business from an existing outbuilding to a new timber building 15 metres to the southwest of the existing and further towards the junction with Deansville Close and Newport Road. The applicant states that the new building has been erected to better deal with COVID restrictions. You can see the application site on the screen, which is the area with the red edge around, and within that you can see the existing building. The existing building would revert back to its former use as an ancillary outbuilding to the main dwelling house as secured under condition 3 to planning permission 15/22884/COU should committee be minded to resolve to approve the application. Similarly, the new building, the subject of this application, would be subject to the same requirements as set out in condition 2 on page 12 of the agenda. You'll see from the report in the agenda that the principle of development has already been established in the granting of the previous application, and since then there have been no changes in policy to alter this policy position. No concerns are raised in terms of the impact of the building on the character appearance of the area or residential amenity, but this is subject to conditions 2 and 6 on page 12 of the agenda relating to restrictions on the operations of the business. Concerning trees, the tree officer has further clarified since the printing of the agenda and the receipt of photographs from Councillor Trowbridge. The tree officer has commented stating that there is no way of knowing for sure how much root damage has been done or not without dismantling the structure and excavating the stilts. It's entirely possible, given the construction method, that no significant root damage was done, and so enforcement action or refusal of consent could well be unjustified. The tree officer maintains a no objection position. Since the agenda was printed, revised comments have also been received from the Highway Authority, who maintain a no objection in respect to highway safety. Two conditions are suggested, but these are already covered by conditions 2 and 4 on page 12 of the agenda. Within their consultation comments, there is an informative and note to planning officer where they acknowledge that whilst the existing sign cannot be moved, but if it were to, this could potentially improve road safety. But overall, they maintain a no objection position on the application. I'll now take you through the presentation. So, as I said before, this is Deansville Close with Newport Road. This is the application site of the existing building. And this is the existing dwelling house. As you can see, the site is well covered by trees, and you'll get a better view of those from the photographs. We have quite a number of photographs, the first 8 taken from Deansville Close. So I'll take you through those. So the first 1, 2, and 3 are from Deansville Close, 4 further down, and 5 and 6 looking up Deansville Close. So here you have, this is taken looking down Deansville Close. This is the structure in question. This is the junction with the Newport Road. This is a slightly wider view with the existing Barber's building on the left here. This is looking up Deansville Close, which shows the existing Barber's operation, the outbuilding, and also the customer car parking with White Lodge here. This is pretty much a repeat of photograph 1. And again, this is looking up Deansville Close to give you a wider perspective. This is a closer view, which also shows the fence, which forms part of the proposal. This is looking northwest along Newport Road and across the junction. And again, this is taken looking down Deansville Close from the customer car parking area, and this is the existing building. This is the corner of the fence adjacent to the neighbouring property, and this is a slightly wider view. This is looking on the opposite side of Newport Road, which gives you a better idea of the visibility display provided by the fence, to which the Highway Authority have given 2 assessments. Again, this is looking on the opposite side of the junction on Newport Road. Again, looking from up on the opposite side of the junction. The final image is looking into the building itself. We'll just run through the plans. So here you have the application site, the existing building, and the one the subject of this application. This is the building in relation to trees on the site, which is taken from the arboricultural report, or tree report. This is elevations and floor plans of the building, waiting area, barber's chair, covered porch. This is in relation to the street scene. So this is in relation to the fence and the building. And then this is towards the Newport Road with the gate and the boundary to the neighbouring property. The application is recommended for approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. I've got an objector, Ms. Kerry Wilde. If you care to come forward to this. Just sit there, yes. Make yourself comfortable. When you're ready to speak, just start when you're ready. You'll have 3 minutes, and I'll remind you when you have 1 minute to go so you can finalise and so on. Mm-hmm.
To speak. My name is Kerry Wilde. I have lived opposite White Lodge since 2008 and I object to the development. The arboricultural consultant who did the tree survey did not assess the damage of being caused by ground excavations, which was the basis of the tree officer's original objection. The tree survey submitted includes incorrect information and I have submitted photographic evidence to the case officer to prove this. The means of securing the boundary fence post is incorrectly stated. The amount of ground excavated at each stilt is incorrectly stated and is actually 25 times that stated in the tree survey. I can explain how this is being calculated after my presentation upon request. These excavations that are 25 times that stated in the report are in the root protection area of protected trees. Why is this important? In 2015, there were two beautiful, healthy, mature western red cedars on the site. They're now gone. Could it be from the impact of the 2015 development? Councillors can see on the site plan where the trees were. Back to the current development. Why has incorrect information about excavations and the quantity of concrete used been submitted? Is it so that the tree officer would withdraw his objection to the development, as he has now done? Are councillors satisfied that there is no impact on the trees? The pod and attached porch have been built for business purposes. I have sent considerable evidence of this to planning. As they are built for business purposes, the structure is not permitted development. The new business premises have been ill-designed. The curved nature of the pod make it an unsuitable, impractical and inappropriate design for uses other than camping or glamping, the original intended use for such a structure. The curved walls prevent much of the floor area being accessible or used. The structure's lack of suitability for use makes the design totally inappropriate. The pod is in an inappropriate location. It is in a very exposed, open side garden on an incline, fronting a major road only feet from the pavement.
1 minute to go.
The pod's stilts increase in height as they near the Newport Road due to the land being on an incline. The ground level of the site is higher than the pavement level. From Newport Road pavement level to the top of the pod is monstrous in height, being in excess of 4 metres. The pod dominates both the garden and the surrounding neighbourhood. Therefore, the pod is an inappropriate height for its location. Visually, from both the Newport Road and Dean's Hill Close, the pod is a blot on the landscape. It has a dominant overbearing presence in both the garden and the neighbourhood. It does not at all fit in with the mature, characterful properties in the immediate vicinity, nor does it in any way respect and relate to the existing character and appearance of the surrounding street scene. The pod's height, location and design or have a detrimental visual impact on the neighbourhood. I urge councillors to refuse this application on the grounds of its detriment to the street scene and its effects on protected trees, or, at the very least, to make a site visit to assess the design, location, size and visual impact of the development and the degree of harm. And the degree of harm to the neighbourhood, and whilst there to ask themselves if they are satisfied that the ground excavations have not caused harm to the roots of protected trees. Thank you again for the permission to speak.
Thank you, you may resume. I've got a supporter. Is it going to clean the table? Mr. Nick Hughes?
Yes.
You can't stay your seat, sir.
Thank you.
Again, yeah, just speak when you're ready. Make yourself comfortable. You have 3 minutes, and I'll inform you when you have 1 minute to go to finalise your statement. Start whenever you're ready, sir.
The calling seems questionable with a structured concern using under 3% of White Lodge's garden space for two businesses. May I ask committee members to refer to section 6 of the SPC conduct for speakers to make sure any factual material is considered due to objections supplying fabricated evidence to the planning, especially now officials such as the Tree Preservation Officer and Highways have been satisfied. My reason for relocation is due to COVID trade impact. Unsafe, non-energy efficient present conditions, also lacking OAP and disabled access. This is also coupled by said objectors crippling my trade with interference. The existing proposed site has been most carefully designed for energy efficiency and appearance, reducing present light pollution from 30% in the present building to under 5%. It has been commended by all the neighbours that are actually facing it on the Newport Road due to its low-key eco-appearance using recycled materials. I am confused how appearance is a factor when it is an existing permitted build. The fence is to secure residential property and to offer safety for potential clients, if permitted, children and dogs, from a busy Newport Road. Its height just goes over 1.2 metres around the gate section, and it is nowhere near the 4 metres declared in height. The actual height of a wall the fence is based on is 60 centimetres. My building is not in question here. It is a building, it's a business relocation, literally 10 metres to 15 metres away, and a fence height, which is in question. My present business has offered a superb addition to the local community, with 50% of clients walking in, thus reducing the carbon footprint. To continue is impossible without relocating, especially as I would like to move further away from the objection of neighbours that I've been receiving. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you care to resume your seat? I've got the ward councillor, Councillor Trowbridge. If you could just wait until we get to him, please. Again, make yourself comfortable, Councillor. You have 5 minutes from when you start, and if you haven't finished, I'll inform you when you have 1 minute left. Whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Committee, thank you for allowing me to speak on this application. May I give you a quick historic journey? In 1989, Newport House was granted change of use from a house to an office space. This is the accountants on the opposite corner to the site. 13 spaces was required for parking and was given. This business has now grown to 40 plus employees, yet still 13 spaces. Hence this business creates parking problems for neighbours and their homes. I have letters proving this issue from Mark Winnington and Diane Firkins, the Community Traffic Management Officer. Yet they can now give up 2 spaces for another business. If that is the case, could we see a red edge round the car park of the accountants as well, please? In 2015, as a new councillor, I called the Las Barbas shop in for the knock-on effect of a business in a residential area. I asked why not the town centre for a mile away, but this was because of an accident rendering the applicant unable to work for more than a few hours, hence appointments only and just a few hours a day. I absolutely accepted this, but was still concerned about parking and knock-on effect to the trees. I was assured all was well. 2020, two beautiful trees had to be removed because of irreversible damage. So I will begin my questions with the trees. Why are the tree officer's report not in the officer's report, as I find them relevant to this application? There's an enforcement order shown on the relevant planning permission. Is this for buildings in a TPO zone? The removal of two large trees in 2020 shows the damage from the original building, yet permission for another building is acceptable. Why? And where are the two replacement trees? The applicant was asked to get an independent report on damage to the trees, yet the damage was assessed without looking underground, so it can only be assessed on information given by the applicant. This is not what our tree officer asked for, so why has it been accepted? My pictures of the posts in the ground clearly show they have not just got a thin layer of concrete, as stated in this report. Secondly, is this application retrospective, or has the log cabin got PD rights? I'm still unclear. The plans have changed four times. It was built in May 2020, yet it took till February for the change of use from storage to A1 hairdressers. On the 8th of March, the erection of the fence was added. On the 18th of March, it changed totally to change of use of land from residential garden to A1 hairdressing to include erection of log cabin and fence. So if the erection of the log cabin was added, surely it's not PD rights. Then lastly, it was to assure us that the other barber shop will revert back to the house. So I cannot make my mind up if we owe this applicant a huge apology for misinformation or he's pulling the wool over our eyes. If I had answers to all these questions, it would make it so much clearer. The height of the fence allowed, fronting the main road, varies on each report. What is the height allowed and where is it measured from? As you can no longer see up Dean's Hill Close when crossing the road on the slope, which is the where you push a pushchair. And I would love everyone to see that.
You have 1 minute to go.
Thank you. Does a porch or veranda count when assessing a size? As the building is stated, 19.5 metres squared. If it was 20 metres squared, another parking space would be required. Why no planning reason in the conclusion? The only planning reason is policy E1, creation of jobs. This is a one-man hairdresser to a one-man hairdresser. No creation of jobs. Conditions show not to work on Sundays. Who will police this? As neighbours phoned and emailed the borough when this building was going up on Sundays and yet nothing was done. Do we have areas for business, i.e. the town centre? Why are we still allowing businesses popping up in residential areas? Lastly, as you can see by my pictures, this area is already being used as a bar. I checked with licensing, no license has been granted. All I ask is the law is followed. I really feel the committee should see this side. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. You may remain there for any points of clarity.
Thank you.
I'll let our planning officer come back on some of the points raised by Councillor Trowbridge.
So in terms of what we're assessing tonight, we're looking at what has been tabled before us, not what's happened in the past, in terms of looking at the merits of this particular application. If you look on page 7 of the agenda, under car parking, you'll see from those paragraphs that In actual fact, there is an over provision of car parking already as to what's required under the local plan car parking standards. So therefore, there is no requirement for any additional car parking to be required from the accountants, and therefore that's why the red edge doesn't extend into that area. In terms of the business use, can I just take you to page 12? To condition 2 and the last sentence. I'll just read this out. In the event that the cabin is no longer required for the approved commercial purposes, or the applicant ceases to reside at the main dwelling, White Lodge, it shall be restored to ancillary residential use. Now, the previous permission has that same requirement. So the existing building will have... So if the existing building is not being used as a barber's, it has to revert back to domestic use under the previous permission. Under this current application, if the new building is not used as a barber's, it would still have to be reverted back to domestic use. So in effect, we are controlling that only one business operates from that site via those conditions. PD rights don't apply to this building because it's the subject of this application. And in terms of reverting back, I've just explained that in terms of the condition requirements. And in terms of visibility with the fence, you'll see that Highways comments are on the agenda, but in addition to that, there are revised Highway comments on the council's website, which show a reassessment of that and who still maintain a no objection. What they are saying is, it's the sign here, which has been up for more than 4 years, and we have no control over, which does impede visibility, and in an ideal world, they would want that to be relocated, but they acknowledge that we can't require that. I hope that clarifies points raised by Councillor Trowbridge.
Is there any about the trees?
Sure. So in addition, so as part of my presentation, following the submission of Councillor Trowbridge's photographs, which you can see on the right here, the concrete, on this photograph of the fence, that the tree officer is aware of those photographs, and I'll just again read out what his comments were in relation to those photographs. There is no way of knowing for sure how much root damage has been done or not without dismantling the structure and excavating the stilts. It is entirely possible, given the construction method, that no significant root damage was done, and so enforcement action or refusal of consent could well be unjustified. So he has seen this later evidence, and he's still maintaining the no objection. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Do you want to clarify something?
Just one point of clarification, if that's all right, Mr. Chairman, to Mr. Wood. Are you saying it isn't PD, so this should say retrospective planning permission?
Yes.
Am I correct in what you just said?
Yes, I mean we could have changed this to retrospective application to retain the building, but I must stress that works which are done without planning permission are not a criminal offence, and this application seeks to regularise that.
Doesn't say retrospective planning permission.
I think in hindsight we should have amended the description to more accurately reflect what's been applied for.
It would have made it clearer for me.
Thank you. Is any member, Councillor Kemp?
Yes, I'm reading the same paragraph that Richard has drawn our attention to. I find it very restrictive, to be honest with you.
Mm.
When you read that no other individuals are employed at the premises, I mean, what about the apprentice who's learning the job and has to do the sweeping up? And then it goes on to say that I'll have to get rid of this, you know. It also goes on to say about it can only be used as a hairdresser, and they can't have anything else going on in there. And the visitors and clients of the building are only there for haircuts and barber services. Now, I mean, it's a very restrictive condition.
What I
will say this, I was quite amused when I saw the first picture of the cabin. It was quite, you know, I haven't been up the Newport Road, but look at it, but I'm damn sure it's now going to become a visitor's attraction. But I do honestly feel, you know, that it's really tied up this business, the point on that number two.
Yeah, this is the condition that was carried forward from the previous permission. And yes, we do have quite strong controls under the conditional requirements there. Depending upon the applicant's circumstances, if members are minded to approve the application, there's nothing stopping the applicant from submitting an application to vary the terms of that condition depending upon his developing circumstances.
Thank you, Councillor Cam. Any other councillor wish to speak? Councillor Hobbs.
I don't live too far away from here, and what I would like to say is that was taken in March of this year, and the shrubs and hedges around it have grown quite substantially, and it's quite unobtrusive now. It looks really, I mean, initially when I first saw it and I was walking past it, I thought, you know, that's quite unusual and it seemed quite obtrusive. But it really doesn't now. It sort of screened quite well. And that's only a few months, March, April, May, June. You know, so by this time next year, I doubt you're going to see much of it at all.
So would you like to propose acceptance of the application
subject to conditions?
Yeah, that's fine.
Proposed by Councillor Hobbs. Is that seconded? Have a second there, please. Councillor seconded by Councillor Kenny. All those in favour of approving this application as per Ross's recommendations, subject to the appropriate conditions, please raise your hands. That is unanimous. Thank you, members. The application is approved. If the supporting objector wish to leave at this stage, they may be free to do so.
I think we said it was unanimous.
For those that voted, it was unanimous because Councillor Trowbridge did not vote because she was a ward councillor.
Yeah, that was what I worried about.
Nine votes for, none against.
Yeah. Okay.
One abstention.
Thank you, members. If you'd like to turn to page 15 of your agenda. Application 19/31487/COU, land at the former airfield Hickson, change of use of concrete runway for storage of vehicles and associated perimeter fencing and landscape improvements. Our planning officer, Sean, will give you the presentation.
Before I start the presentation, just a couple of updates with regard to the report shown in the agenda. On page 22 of the agenda, the environmental health comments have been recorded incorrectly. You'll note that the text states that there are conditions required. However, this is incorrect, and the response from the environmental health officer is that they have no comments to make in relation to the application. I've also spoken with the Environmental Protection Lead Officer in Environmental Health, and he's confirmed he has no concerns in relation to the application, specifically with regard to vehicle fluids, provided that the drainage condition which is recommended is attached.
Thank you, Sharon.
This application is for a change of use of an existing concrete runway for storage of vehicles. The application also proposes associated perimeter fencing and landscaping. The application site extends to just over 3 hectares and comprises existing hard standing and grassed areas associated with the former airfield. The proposed access is via an internal access road through the adjoining industrial estate. So you'll see the red edge on the plan view. This is the site here, and this is the sort of access through the industrial site up to the main part of the site. The site falls outside the boundary for Hickson Airfield Industrial Site, as defined in the plan for Suffolk Borough and in the Hickson Neighbourhood Plan. The site in policy terms, therefore, is an open countryside. Page 17 of the agenda details policy rationale to support the proposal. This essentially focuses on the reuse of previously developed land, particularly sites which are physically well related to existing settlements. The report goes on to assess the impact of the proposal on the character and appearance of the area, noting that the site has low visual amenity value. The site would be substantially screened, and overall, considering the adjoining vehicle storage, it's not considered that it would have a significant impact on the character of the area. The nearest residential properties are approximately 260 metres away, and Environmental Health do not raise any objections. I'll just run through the plans and photographs. So we've got an aerial view similar to the plan view that we've just seen. You'll notice in the report that the application site is northeast of a vehicle storage area which was granted planning permission in 2017. The boundary of the industrial estate runs along the road, providing access to the site. So the boundary sort of runs along here, around here, and then around that part of the site. So it basically encompasses the buildings to the south. This boundary is defined in the plan for Suffolk Borough and within the Hickson Neighbourhood Plan. We've only got 3 photographs of this site. So through those, photograph one, this shows the existing concrete area at the eastern end of the site looking in a northerly direction. Photo 2, this photo shows it is taken from within the eastern end of the site looking south towards the existing buildings within Hickson Airfield Industrial Estate. And finally, photo 3, this photo is looking in a westerly direction along the existing expanse of concrete which falls within the application site. This shows the proposed storage area which would be within a fenced area covering around 14,700 square metres. I don't know whether you can see the pink line on the plan. That shows the line of fence with double gates either end. The plan also shows a 4-metre-wide band of native shrubs to the north part of the site. You'll also note there's a landscaping screen to the east, which is in more detail on plan 2. So this essentially shows an enlarged image of the landscaping proposed to the eastern side of the site. Stow Lane lies to the east of the site where a number of dwellings are situated. Therefore, this proposed landscaping would provide screening to these properties, which are around about 260 metres away. Finally, plan three shows a detail of the proposed fencing and gates, which would be 1.8 metres in height, comprised mesh panels in a dark green colour. Environmental Health did not raise any objections, and we've had no objections raised by any of the other consultees, including the Highway Authority. A detailed drainage condition has been requested by the lead local flood authority. The application is recommended for approval subject to conditions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I've got no objector. I've got a supporter, Mr. Ben Weatherly. You care to step up and go to the second table there, Mr. Weatherly? Make yourself comfortable. You have 10 minutes to present your report. If you haven't finished after nine, I'll let you know you've 1 minute left to sum up. Start when you're ready, sir.
Thank you, Chair, and good evening, members. I'm speaking on behalf of the applicant, Jonathan Lloyd Commercial Salvage Limited, and would like to take this opportunity to outline the background for this application and the case in support of its approval, as recommended by your officers, as you just heard. In doing so, I'll focus on three key areas. Firstly, the need for the proposal, then the impact of it, and thirdly, the benefits that would flow from it. Firstly, with regard to need, part of the former runway within the airfield that directly adjoins this site to the southwest is in active and well-established use for commercial vehicle storage and auctions. The use of that adjoining runway for commercial vehicle auctions was originally permitted in 2014, so 7 years ago, with a further permission issued in 2017 to increase the number of auctions to a maximum of six per year and to allow vehicles to be stored on the former runway in between auctions. This is all taking place immediately to the southwest of this current site. Due to the further and ongoing success of the applicant's business, they're experiencing increased demand for the storage of commercial vehicles in between auctions taking place. As a result, the applicant requires additional space for storing vehicles in the vicinity, which would avoid the need to transport them to another location off-site storage when there is insufficient space to store them within the adjoining runway where this use is currently authorised, and to then have to transport them back to the airfield when the next auction takes place. It would plainly be preferable, both from a practical point of view and the efficient operation of the applicant's business, and from an environmental perspective, including reducing the need to travel and the associated reduced impact on the environment, for the additional storage space required to be provided in close proximity to the existing authorised commercial vehicle auction and storage facility that I just referred to. Given that the application site directly adjoins that facility and also comprises a section of concrete runway, which is brownfield land, that has been the subject of previous permissions for open storage of aggregates, albeit temporary permissions, it is considered to lend itself to accommodate the additional storage space required. The proposal is considered to constitute a sustainable form of economic development, particularly given that the site comprises previously developed land, close to the boundary of the Hickson Airfield recognised industrial estate, as you just heard, and in close proximity to the settlement of Hickson, which is of course one of the key service villages within Stafford Borough. Turning to impact of the proposal, as you've just seen on the plans, part of the proposal is to take the opportunity to propose both perimeter fencing to secure the site and a variety of landscape improvements. Those improvements would not only mitigate the visual impact of the proposed use of the site itself, but also have the added benefit of providing a soft landscape screen of the existing further permitted development in the vicinity, in particular when viewed from those sections of Stow Lane and residential properties that have a view of the site and adjoining development, albeit a quarter of a kilometre away, as you've heard. The intention of this element of the proposal is to deliver improvements to the character and appearance of the current commercially active areas of the former airfield, and other adjoining industrial developments within the industrial estate, not just being run by the applicant but by others, and the local landscape in general. So it's an improvement, a betterment to the existing situation, as well as screening the vehicle storage single level only that's currently proposed. It's also been demonstrated the proposal would have an entirely acceptable impact from a highways perspective and in all other respects, such as in relation to drainage, including provision of a sustainable drainage solution, and impact on amenity of the nearest dwellings, subject to planning conditions where appropriate, as your officers explained. Indeed, as confirmed in your officer's report, this application is technically sound with no objections from statutory consultees. However, the proposal goes beyond addressing technical matters and will also deliver a wide range of benefits that are material considerations. These include the economic benefits associated with enabling the growth of the applicant's business, with a positive impact on job retention and creation as a result of the increased workload and revenue that will be generated. Further economic benefits would include knock-on positive impacts on the supporting businesses involved in the applicant's operations, of which there are numerous, plus spend by employees and supporting businesses on local services when in the area. The increased storage capacity of the business would allow unsold vehicles to remain on site, as I explained, so this reduces disruption on the road network, as larger commercial vehicles would no longer be required to be transported off and back to the site between auctions. This would provide significant improvements to the amenities of local residents, in addition to highway safety. Removing the need to move vehicles to and from the site would also reduce emissions, as I've touched on, and therefore deliver environmental benefits. Further environmental benefits include that the landscaping would improve the visual amenity of the area, as I've outlined, but in addition, those landscaping improvements would also increase and enhance biodiversity in terms of habitats, species, and structural diversity, which is a key national planning objective in the current day. Finally, one of the most notable benefits of the proposal is that it involves the efficient and beneficial reuse of brownfield land that is already suitable for use for the proposed storage of vehicles. It's good to go, subject to the drainage scheme required by condition. This in turn reduces the need to develop on greenfield land elsewhere to provide the additional storage capacity required. And you'll be pleased to hear now in conclusion, this is a logical and reasonable planning application for additional commercial vehicle storage that would enable the applicant to cater for the additional demand their business is experiencing by way of the beneficial use of a section of brownfield land adjoining the edge of the recognised industrial estate at Hickson Airfield. The application has been accompanied by extensive supporting documentation which combines to demonstrate the various points I've outlined this evening and are set out in your officer's report. The application demonstrates the proposal comprises sustainable economic development which adheres to the key policy objectives within the plan for Stafford Borough and the National Planning Policy Framework. Moreover, the proposal would deliver a range of planning benefits and be technically sound. As a result, I respectfully assert that the planning balance weighs heavily in favour of granting permission and that permission should be granted accordingly. It's clear that your officers are of the same opinion, and so with all these considerations in mind, I urge you to approve this application subject to conditions in accordance with your officer's recommendation, thus enabling the numerous benefits of this proposal to be realised. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Weddle. If you care to resume your seat. I've got Ward Councillor, Councillor Alec Brown. Take a seat, Alec. You have 10 minutes to present your case. If you haven't finished by then, I'll notify you when you have 1 minute to go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did pick this up quite last minute. So I'm a bit of a stand-in here, but I've done a bit of research on it. I just wanted to seek a point of clarity, though. Is this a brownfield site, or is it not a brownfield site? Because in the officer's report, it lists this as not brownfield, but I understand the supporters just said it was. I just wanted some clarity on that.
I'll let our planning officer answer that before you start.
Page 16 of the agenda. The report states the site in policy terms is within the open countryside. The site does constitute previously developed land, i.e. a brownfield site.
It is a brownfield site.
Yeah, so that's set out quite clearly on page 16.
No problem, that's fine. Okay. Absolutely fine. Right, so with regards to this development, it is going to have a major impact on some of our residents in terms of visual aspects. And having had a look at the neighbours' responses which have been submitted, they've submitted photographs as well. It is in a few of the houses' visibility displays, and it will have quite a significant impact on them. Having also read through their responses, they're saying since the original development, there has been a decrease in biodiversity on the original site. I cannot verify that, I have not been myself. I would like to say I welcome the developer's proposed tree plan. I think that's good to see. But with regards to anything else, I would quite like to have a site visit just to have a see how this is going to play out. It is a major development in what is a flat field. You can see it for quite a way. And I do worry about some of our residents which are going to be impacted by it. But all in all, like I say, I've only recently just picked this up from Brendan McEwen, and having had a look at over some of his letters and what he's pointed out, it falls outside of our industrial boundary, both the Hickson neighbourhood plan and the Stafford Borough Council neighbourhood plan. So we do have to tread quite carefully when it comes to making decisions on this. And I don't want to make a rash decision and get it wrong when I haven't got everything in front of me. And I'm sure you guys don't want to do the same. Looking on image 3, which was on there, you can see right in the background how it is at the moment. I'm assuming it's going to be coming down to make a bit of a sort of a Y shape. So you can get a sort of a feel that that's going to, it's a very flat piece of land, obviously, with being an airfield. It will have quite an impact on whoever can see it. So again, I do really think a site visit would be necessary. But that's all I have to say on.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. Do you want to respond to any of those, please?
So in response to your concerns about the visual impact, obviously most of the properties that are closest to the site are on Stone Lane, and we can see that quite extensive landscaping is being proposed to provide a screen to those properties. So if you look at plan 2, you can see that screening there. Going back to the aerial photograph, that would be up here. And we can see we've got properties some distance away here. In response to your other points, I would say, you know, this is a logical location given the existing concrete surface. It's in close proximity to the industrial estate, and it's also immediately adjacent to the existing authorised commercial storage and auction facility.
Can you go back to the landscaping? Oh, I can't make sense of that. I tried to make sense of it a bit. So we're looking, so the houses are coming down.
So
is that going to be a bank with trees on it?
So basically a landscaping sort of bund, if you like.
So a bund with trees.
So
do you know what trees would be planted?
Very small tax. Detailed on that plan, but
they
the text is so small,
unfortunately. When I tried to zoom in, it wouldn't want to bring it up.
They are detailed, however, it is conditioned out anyway on condition five, which is noted on page 25 of the agenda. So the landscaping scheme is going to be achieved by the condition. That the species are noted on that plan.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. On your point about not being outside your neighbourhood plan, I think the principles of development on page 17 quotes the National Land regulations and special principles, etc., that cover that point.
So it's covered outside of the plan.
Yes,
the national framework.
But it could be outside the local plan, but mitigating circumstances, and you weigh the balance in planning, and that's what the planning officers have come forward and recommended approval for.
Right, okay. I struggle to visualise the landscape and how.
I'm giving you leeway, councillor, because normally you get what you're allowed to say to you can clarify things. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
But because it's probably one of your first visits to the planning committee, I'll give you a bit of leeway. Any member wish to speak on this? Councillor Kent.
Yes, it's interesting that the council has asked us to do a site visit. I know we've all been lobbying, and I know there are some photographs sent in by Councillor McEwen. And if you go back, if the officer would go back to that one that shows something in the background, one of the photographs. Because I was amazed when I saw images 1, 2, and 3. I thought, well, this is not what I've been lobbied about. But you see on page on 3, right at the back of 3, I assume that is the row of these lorries. Damaged lorries, I'm told they are. And I do feel, you know, that the local council has some justification in asking for a site visit. So I'm going to propose a site visit.
I'll second that, Chairman.
This is before we've actually discussed it.
We have to discuss the site visit now, don't we? Whether we want a site visit or not.
We need to justify.
Yeah, can you give me the reasons why you want a site visit?
So that members of the committee can have can view it in situ. I mean, one or two of us will remember having been to the airfield. I mean, you and I are probably the one or two people in this room who've got more experience about airfields than anything. But the point about it is that we ought to go and stand in that location and look to see what we can see in the distance and what in actual fact will be coming closer to these properties at Ixon. I mean, that's what the councillor said a moment or two ago. In his opinion, he thinks it will affect the view from properties in Ixon, and I think we ought to go and look at it.
Well, on page 15 of the report, in fact, it says the nearest properties are 280 and 320 metres from the eastern boundary. Another property is located some 500 metres to the north.
Can I ask the officers a question then?
Yes, indeed.
Was there supposed to be a planting screen in front of what we see in the far distance?
No.
Or does nobody know that? Because, I mean, if that's what's going to happen in this area here, you're going to be able to see. And I can tell you now that having looked at this fencing that we saw a picture of, they've erected a similar sort of fencing along what was one side, between Charlie playing fields and one side. And you can see through it. There's no two ways about it. You can see straight through it. So it would be interesting to see, to go to the location and see maybe an example of the fencing.
Councillor Kent.
Yeah, also I think that the fact that this has been referred to the committee, not just because it's been called in, because it is actually a large scale major development, and that would also, you know, in my opinion, call for a site visit.
To see if we've got sufficient grounds.
Just to let the committee know that, just going back to the original point of loss of view from property owners. Loss of view isn't a material planning consideration. Paragraph 20 of the report on page 18 does say that it's considered that the proposed development would not have a significant adverse impact on the character and appearance of the area. Just to put that out.
Councillor Camp, just made to come in. I'm just trying to clarify your reason for deferring for a site visit. Is this to assess the visual impact of what's being proposed from within the site and also from the surroundings on the character appearance of the area?
Yeah.
And also from what Councillor Kenny's saying, also given that it's a large scale major application. Would that be the reason for deferral for recital? Lee, you might have been the volume room.
Finish that, and then I've got Councillor Cooper indicated.
So, speaking to Lee, the solicitor, so the reason for deferral for site visit would be to assess the visual impact of the proposal from on the site and its surroundings on the couch and appearance of the area, but also for officers to check for the site visit to see what the landscaping proposals were for the previous scheme.
Yes, Councillor Cooper.
Back in 2020, whenever it was, we had the first lockdown. I did a lot of walking in this area, and I struggled with, I'm trying to work it out, existing footpaths where I walked because of the storage of vehicles across the runway where, or across the area where they should have been. There was fencing in the way. There were vehicles that I had to scramble through, which were semi-derelict. It was quite hazardous. I complained to Hickson Parish Council about it, which happened to be the councillor from Kewin, wasn't on the Borough Council at the time, I don't believe. And he said it's a constant battle trying to keep the ways open there. So the other point that I'd like to question on this one is I see throughout this it's storage of vehicles and there's talks of auctions. It's more like a breaker's yard when you go through. There's derelict vehicles. I don't know the business. I don't know how they're going to be auctioned or what for. Whether it's just scrap metal, I have no idea. But the picture of the storage of vehicles was not one that I remember walking through. It was the storage of wrecks.
This application site is just for the storage of the vehicles. The auction is on the adjacent site, and that's already authorised. That already has permission. So the adjacent site already has planning permission to store vehicles and have up to 6 auctions on the site.
Sorry, Chair, if I may follow. Yeah, I've no doubt that's the case. It's this term storage of vehicles. You say storage of vehicles, and it brings to mind rows of orderly vehicles in decent condition. These were. I have no idea what the auctions are for, but it was bordering on scrapyard when I went through at that time.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have said it was storage.
You query about rights of way, in fact, if you look at page 20 of your report.
I've seen that about the rights of way. And I appreciate when you look at the plans and when you look at the existing rights of way on here, they go across the end of the runway, as long as there's around the side of in fact, if you bring that picture with the proposed landscape here.
That one?
Yeah. According to the map I've just googled here, the footpath runs actually across the end of that, so as long as that's maintained, I'm not sure whether it is because there's a gate across part of it there, and landscaping. In fact, may I look over and point to the screen and I'll show you what's on my screen where the footpath runs.
There is a pedestrian gate shown as well at the bottom.
Is that a pedestrian gate that's open all the while?
Yeah.
That's the gate. Yeah, that's all the council's
in. Just to make sure the public right of way is unobstructed.
Right. We should be discussing the site visit. However, I've got Councillor Trowbridge, Councillor Gareth Jones, and Councillor Hood indicated to speak. So I'll hear them and then we'll carry on with the discussion.
Sorry, Chair, that wasn't related to the site visiting centre, presumably. Yeah.
Councillor Trowbridge.
I'm looking at point 3 on page 16, where it had temporary planning permission up until September last year. I gather that's carried on running while the application's been in. Have we had any reports that this hasn't worked since 2016 or anything coming to say that this isn't working and shouldn't happen? Because everything seems to fight on fight itself out of the court, shall I say. It is a brownfield, it isn't a brownfield, it is in the boundary, it isn't in the boundary, it has got permission, it hasn't got. It seems to go back and forth. I remember going onto this site for the other one that you talked about a minute ago, and it is a big, vast brownfield area, in my view. But I just want clarity. Has there been issues on there that could be planning reasons? Is there a reason to go on a site visit?
I'm not aware of any issues. I don't know if you are, Richard. And Environmental Health haven't raised any comments at all.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Jones.
I just wanted clarification, Chairman. The last part of the report, on page 26, informatives 2, the attention of the applicant is drawn to the observations of the public rights of way. The public rights of way is set out on page 22, and there is a lot of concern there about the impact that the proposal will have. And I just wondered to what extent those concerns of the rights of way officer have been dealt with in the informative. I don't quite understand.
The informative is really just directing the applicant to look at the comments that were made by Staffordshire County Council rights of way officer. So the informative that goes on is just alerting them to those comments.
So they're not
mandatory. Sorry?
They're conditional, they're not mandatory.
No, it's not a condition, it's just an informative.
I think the comments that we've heard would indicate that there are certain things that we do need to ensure are maintained as far as access and movement about the site. I was a bit worried about the fact that it is only indicative and not mandatory.
You'll see from the Public Rights of Ways officer that it's acknowledged that the proposal will directly impact upon the public rights of way, but it also says that the application recognises the existence of that right of way in that they provided a fence. Now, if that fence is not provided, the right of way will be obstructed. For which then we can take action. So what the informative basically is aiming to achieve is to bring it to the attention of the applicant that public right of way needs to remain unobstructed.
I would like it to be stronger.
Well, as I say, we should be discussing the side of it. I'll hear what Councillor Hood has to say.
Thank you, Chairman. I am concerned that there's no comments on the from the Environmental Health Officer, because obviously we're not looking at a similar storage to Stone, where we've got millions of pounds worth of Range Rovers with huge security lights. So this is just going to be a storage for cars that are going to be leaking petrol, diesel and oil. And that's why I like a site visit, because the photographs that we've seen don't give a true perspective of the vastness of this site that is actually here with this planning application for it. So I think, to my mind, that's reasonable enough to go and have a site visit.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak on the site visit? I've got a proposal, Councillor Camp, seconded by Councillor Hood, that we pay a site visit for the reasons that Richard quoted earlier. Yeah. All those in favour of the site visit?
Eight.
Those against?
Two against.
Right, a site visit will be arranged at some appropriate time once we know what government restrictions are going to be lifted. Thank you, members.